It's the presence of Adonai through his spirit, through the Ruach, that he draws us to him. And all of us can give testimony to that as yes and amen. So with the continuation of the presence of Adonai, by the promise of his Ruach, the Spirit, it's our heart's desire that you will not only fill us, O Adonai, our loving Heavenly Father, but you will give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word, who is your Son, Yeshua, that we may be able to do everything that is pleasing in the Father's sight, and that we would simply meditate on the life of our Messiah, Yeshua, and see the things that he has done, so that we may accomplish all that when he left this earth, he said, I do not want you to be disappointed or discouraged, but I will send to you my Ruach. And he breathed on those 11 that were assembled before him, his Talmudim, his disciples. And as we fast forward now into the book of Acts, chapter 2, they have been waiting for the presence of Adonai through his Ruach to descend upon them. 120 were assembled together in that upper room, and they were seeking the face of the Father, that they may be filled with the Ruach. Just as Yeshua was sent to Yohanan, his cousin, and he went through the mikvah, and when he was obedient to do so, even though Yohanan, a prophet of God, said to him, this should be reversed, Yeshua said to his cousin, no, we must do this to complete and fulfill all righteousness. And after he rose up from the waters of immersion, the scripture says that the Ruach descended upon him as a dove. And the voice of the Father spoke and declared, this is my Son. In him, I'm well pleased. We as sons and daughters of Abba, Father God, can only do what is pleasing in Abba, Father God's sight. As we submit ourselves and follow the example of our elder brother Yeshua, and allowing ourselves to be filled, not once, but ongoing with the Ruach, so that we will rise up underneath the anointing that we receive through Yeshua, our Messiah, to accomplish what is pleasing in the Father's sight. And that every day from that day forward, as we have received the Ruach, we may then go and do accomplish the will of the Father as the Spirit of the living God is expressing it through us. He equips us, he empowers, he anoints, he gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to do the work of the Father, and that is establishing the kingdom of God within our own hearts so that we may go forth and proclaim the good news of the kingdom to God the Father, Hashem, to Yeshua, his Son, and by the power in the filling of the Ruach, may we accomplish what is pleasing in the Father's sight. And from this day forward, when may we hear every day the Spirit speak to us by the will of the Father, this is my beloved son or daughter, and I'm pleased with what he or she is doing. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let us now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. May your words, O Adonai, go forth and accomplish all that you desire in Yeshua's name. Amen. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky, like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, religious Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. And they were confused because each one heard the believers speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, "How is this possible? Aren't these people who are speaking from Galilee? How is it that we hear them speaking in our native languages? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews by birth and proselytes, Jews from Crete and from Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our languages about the great things that God has done?" Amazed and confused, they all went asking each other, "What can this mean?" But others made fun of them and said, "They have just had too much wine." As a manifestation of the power of God, as we have witnessed both personally and corporately, when the Spirit of God touches you, your emotions are drawn and you express things. But these people, both men and women, 120, had been preparing not only for the gift of the Father to come through Yeshua, but also they were celebrating Shavuot, as they did on a yearly basis. This was the third feast of Adonai. And so majority of people who had just recently, 50 days earlier, had completely celebrated the completion of Pesach, they would simply remain in Jerusalem around about there because their journey that they came to fulfill these feasts of Adonai was very expensive. Can you imagine traveling from Rome, both you and your family, and for other parts, from Babylon, from Arabia, from Libya, where we know today where it is in northern Africa? That was no simple task. And to go on a journey such as that was a very costly thing. But it was important because it was an ordinance of Adonai that every male would be there during these appointed feasts. Pesach, Shavuot, and Tabernacles. And so most of the people there decided, "Hey, I don't want to go back to my city." They would simply put their trust in those that were running their family businesses and the lands that they left with workers that they would hire. And they would go and make this pilgrim trek to Jerusalem. And so now these 120 men and women, and notice this together, there was no separation here. God was doing a brand new thing. There are times when we think, well, how did God ever, this is just a Brit Hadashah New Testament thing. But if we closely look at Scripture, in the Tanakh, there are times where it says the Spirit of the living God came upon certain men and women. Moshe, How about Devorah, Deborah the judge? She had the mind of Adonai. How about King David? How about King Saul? It says that he was prophesying with the prophets. What is sad about Saul is that, yes, there was a time when the Ruach came upon him, and he prophesied with the prophets, but there was a time when the Spirit of the living God departed from him. And who did God raise up at that time to minister unto him? But David, who was to be the second king. Now, fast forward. Did not Elijah and Elisha walk underneath the anointing of the Spirit of the living God? Absolutely. And if you study Scripture very closely, it speaks about the elders that were assigned to Moses after his father-in-law Jethro came and spoke to him and said, you know, this is too much for one man. You need to raise up elders from these tribes and give them the decision-making process. And Scripture records that majority of those elders were with Moshe, and the Spirit of the living God came upon them, and they began to prophesy. And it was whom but Moshe's trusted servant. And his name slips from my mind right now, but I know I got a lot of biblical scholars here. There it is, Joshua. You know, and there are times when the Lord has me step out like that to show me I cannot depend on my mind at all times. You notice I haven't written any of this down. That there are times when the Lord, where you speak out and the Lord fills your mouth, and you have to be to the point where you're willing to humble yourself and receive from your brothers and sisters who are also filled with the Spirit of living God. And he brings it back to their recognition of who that person is, Joshua. And the Scripture records this, that Joshua was very dismayed because there were two of the elders that did not go up with Moshe into the tent. They refused to go. But the Scripture records this, that the Spirit of the living God came upon them, and they began to prophesy among the people. And Joshua saw that. He recognized that this was of God, but he was upset. And what did he do? He went up to Moshe and he complained. And what did Moshe say? I wish that all the men and women of Israel were filled with the Ruach and they would prophesy. Okay? So this is not a New Testament Brit Hadashah thing. There were manifestations of the Ruach upon people that's in the Tanakh. So God is not doing a brand new thing at this point, but he's doing a brand new thing. And notice this. It's on Shavuot here. I know some pronounce it Shuvaot, with more of a sound, a shoe sound at the beginning. Okay? And so with that, during Shuvaot or Shavuot, there was a giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The recognition of what was taking place. Because it was like an annual recommitment to Torah, as our people would assemble into Jerusalem, obeying Adonai's feasts. And in Jeremiah 31, it says this, that though your fathers forsook the covenant, but I was faithful, the days are coming in the future where I'll give you a new Brit Hadashah, not the same covenant that was given through Moshe. And here's part of the promise, that he'll pour out his Ruach. He will take away their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, and he will write his Torah on their hearts. So fast forwarding here. God is a God that does things on his days. But as we look back here a little earlier, what were Yeshua's words during Pesach? as he took the cup of redemption, the wine, and he made the berukah. He said, now in your hearing, I now establish the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. Now take and drink. In verses earlier to that, he said, this bread, this matzah, this is my body. Take and eat of it. So this is what Yeshua is establishing in them. He's fulfilling all these things. And so the fulfilling of the first covenant was done when? Both during Pesach and Shavuot. Because this, at Shavuot, Yeshua was establishing his Brit Hadashah in the 120 there that were assembled, who were a holy remnant, who did Torah to their best capability, but God was now removing their stony hearts and then writing upon their hearts a flesh, the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. This was the act and work of Adonai. Because it says in Jeremiah 31 that you will not be able to complete or fulfill Torah until this takes place. And look what happened, the evidence. Now fast forward to this day. It was those 120 Jewish believers, both male and female, that were filled with the Ruach that accomplished and built the Messianic community. And if it was not for their faithfulness and willingness to do that, where would you and I be today? But lost in our sins. So our salvation comes from what? From the nation of Israel. Through Abba, Father God, through His Son. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we'll get down now to what has been written here. Praise be to God. Yeshua himself is called the first fruits. In 1 Corinthians 5:23, I don't expect you guys to turn there that quickly, so I've written it down, so go more smoothly and quickly. But each in his own order, the Messiah is the first fruits. Then to those who belong to Messiah and at the time of his coming. We are his first fruits. And when Messiah returns, he'll be coming for the harvest of those who are believers that live from that day until the time of his return. Continuing here. In Romans 8:29, it declares this, because those whom God knew in advance, He, God the Father, also determined. You are a chosen people, whether you be Jewish people or people from the nations. God has chosen you to be part of the commonwealth of Israel. Continuing here, He determined in advance who would be conformed to the pattern of His Son, Yeshua, so that He, Yeshua, might be the firstborn among many brothers. You hear that? He is our elder brother. Now continuing here. And He speaks of a harvest, Yeshua, of people with prepared hearts, found in Matthew 9:37-38. This is Yeshua speaking. Then He, Yeshua, said to His Talmudim, that was when there were 12, the harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers to gather in His harvest. So, or what are we to be doing? We're to simply be proclaiming the good news of who Yeshua is. We are the workers of the Lord's harvest. And notice this, we do not go into the harvest field unless we're filled with the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God, who fills our mouths in what to say. He shows us what people to look at and to go and proclaim the good news. We must go through times and intercession, praying for these individuals. Because the place of your workplace, the place that you go to school, the place that you live, this has all been ordained by Adonai. You are in that such a place for this time to proclaim and live out your salvation before Adonai. Continuing here. Also, John 4:35 declares this. Don't you have a saying, for 4 more months, then the harvest? Well, I say to you is this, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for the harvest. And as we go through the second part of Acts chapter 2, we will see that there were 3,000 individuals that were added to the Messianic community that very day. Continuing here. Later in this present chapter, verse 41, 3,000 persons became the first fruits of the Spirit-empowered activity of Yeshua's Talmudim. And also in Romans 8:23, it says this, and not only it, but we ourselves who have been the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we continue waiting eagerly to be made both the sons and daughters, that is to have our whole bodies redeemed and set free. You know, that's an ongoing process. Are there not temptations that you and I face every day? And the only victory we get over those temptations is when we call upon the Spirit of the living God to fill us with the presence of God, that we desire the presence of God over whatever is tempting us at that moment, whether it be in our eye or in our mind or something we want to possess. When we are in the presence of Adonai, he meets all our needs, and we walk in the provision that he's given us. And that satisfies us in completion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us continue. John 6:35 declares this, Yeshua answered them, I am the bread which is life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty. What was Shavuot all about? But bringing forth the promise of the wheat harvest. And we were to give what? Adonai the first of that harvest. It's amazing that Yeshua declares himself as the bread of life. Because what city was Yeshua born in? Which is called Beit Lechem, the house of bread. Let's continue here. There's so much beauty in God's scripture. Since the leavened stuff, which is chametz, it's amazing, Pesach, just 50 days earlier, we were told what? To clean out all the chametz from our house. But then soon as Pesach is over, Yom Kippur, which is first fruits, it's the barley harvest. And here Adonai allows there to be leaven in the bread. I've always been amazed when I've contemplated that for the very first time. There's one feast of the Lord where he doesn't allow any leaven to be in our bread, but then he allows two feasts, actually three because Sukkot, where there's leaven in the bread. It's God's desire to get the leaven out. But God takes us as we are. None of us have reached perfection. Our redemption and our sanctification is an ongoing process. And who is standing beside us, not only beside us, but within us, but the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God. And he reveals those faults, those shortcomings in our lives. He brings attention and says, now, Frank, I got to pick on myself. Frank, you know the way you should go. I have empowered you and equipped you. So what are you going to choose? Choose this day. Will you choose to serve the Lord and walk in his provision? Many times we make that so difficult, but Adonai has made it so simple. Does not Scripture declare that he has not allowed any temptation, any trial, any tribulation to come near us, that he has not prepared a way out through his provision? Absolutely. So now let us move forward. Hametz symbolizes sin in the Tanakh. Yeshua represented himself as a sinless by using unleavened bread, matzah, to inaugurate the new covenant found in Luke 22:20. The Shavuot bread offering is made with leaven, symbolizing God's people as having sinned before Yeshua's atoning death. Later, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, writes the Messianic community in Corinth that in reality you are unleavened. For our Pesach Passover lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. That's 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Now, John, Yohanan, it speaks of 1:5. The two loaves of the offering can now be understood by representing God's expanded people, comprised of both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah. Going on, the book of Ruth points up a lesson not to be ignored. Ruth was what? A Moabitess. And does not God's word say the Moabites were not to be part of the commonwealth of Israel for many generations? Here's God's mercy revealed in the Tanakh and in the synagogue during the Feast of Shavuot and the Feast of Sukkot. Do we not read portions of the book of Ruth? A Moabitess? A traitor? A descendant of whom? But Esau? Continuing, and she goes on. Ruth the Moabitess was added to the Jewish people with her noble confession. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. God ordained all that. And as you read through the book of Ruth, and as you read about those three sons of Naomi that perished, and not only that, but also her husband. And where was her home? But the house of bread. Adonai allowed famine to go upon the place in the scripture where it is called the breadbasket of the land of Israel, that his mercy may be expounded. Continuing here. This woman, Ruth, who became an ancestor of Yeshua, recorded in Matthew 1:5, expressed her loyalty to the Jewish people before she spoke of God. But over the centuries, many calling themselves Christians have done just the opposite, hating the Jews and accusing them of deicide and ignoring the New Testament's warnings not to boast against the Jewish root. Let us turn and spend some time here, because we're in no rush. And I'll finish today's message on this. Romans 11, 16. Very, very important that from time to time we look at these scriptures, because the scriptures give us balance and how we're to relate to one another and to Adonai. Romans chapter 11, verses 16. Now, if challah offered as first fruits is holy, so the whole loaf And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive, were grafted in among them and have become equal shares in the rich root of the olive tree, they don't boast as if you were better than the branches. However, if you do boast, remember that you are not supporting the root. The root is supporting you. So you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. True, but so what? They were broken off because of their lack of trust. However, you keep your place only because of your trust or faith. So don't be arrogant. On the contrary, be terrified. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he certainly won't spare you. So take a good look at God's kindness and his severity. On the one hand, severity towards those who fell off. But on the other hand, God's kindness towards you, provided you maintain yourself in that kindness. See, there's an if there. You're to be kind, what? To the Jewish people. Otherwise, you will be cut off too. Moreover, the others, if they do not persist in their lack of trust, will be grafted in, because God is able to graft them back in again. For if you were cut out of what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? For brothers, I want you to understand this truth. So Rav Shaul is writing to the Messianic community in Rome that has a lot of Gentiles part of the Messianic community. They were grafted in. And so he's dealing with situations. He's warning them. Show love and kindness towards one another. Continuing. For brothers, I want you to understand this truth, which God formerly concealed, but has now revealed. This is an apostle. This is a sent one. This is an emissary. And he says, I have new revelation. Now, we can trust in the revelation that was written in this book of both the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. I see them as one complete book. They are so intertwined that you cannot fully understand and comprehend one from the other, because the Spirit of the living God has breathed both the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. And we cannot fulfill the Tanakh unless we're walking underneath the new revelation and being filled with the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God. We cannot fulfill the Father's will. So continuing here. For brothers, I want you to understand this truth, with God formerly concealed but has now revealed, so that you won't imagine you are more than you are actually are. It is that stoniness to a degree that has come upon Israel until the Gentile world enters its fullness. And that is in this way all Israel will be saved. Hear that again. All Israel will be saved. One more time. All Israel will be saved, as the Tanakh says. Notice here, he's not quoting the Brit Hadashah. Because of the writing of Romans, the book of Matthew has not even been written yet. Continuing. As the Tanakh says, out of Zion, out of Zion will come the Redeemer. He will turn away ungodliness from Yaakov, from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. Who's going to remove the capability from Israel of continuing to rebel against Adonai and the Torah? But Adonai himself, as he removes the stony heart and replaces it with a heart of flesh, And he not simply writes the Torah upon their hearts and minds, but he fills them with the equipping power of the Ruach that gave Yeshua the ability to fulfill the Father's will. Do we see the template? Do we fully understand that man or woman cannot fulfill Adonai's will and build his kingdom without the Torah being written upon our hearts and in our minds and being filled with the Ruach? Anything done by the power of man or woman does not bring glory and honor to Adonai. I will end today's message on that note. Shabbat Shalom.